Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, well, it was a good weekend for the Boston Celtics as well. Friday night took down the Lakers. That was a good game. They won 30-108. Then they came back Saturday and took care of the Thunder, 111-105. Friday night was the game, though, right? LeBron's in town. Anthony Davis is in town. I thought it was interesting, Christian. You can tell me, but that was the game. Obviously, I think Tatum had some foul trouble early on. Didn't play much early in that game. But Marcus Smart went out there and dropped 22 on 9-for-13 shooting. And you said this before, that he's the new Al Horford. And
yeah.
I couldn't agree more, because, you know, he has the awful shooting nights, and it is, you don't appreciate him. You don't know the impact he has on the defensive side when he goes like 1-for-9 from 3-point land or something like that. It's the little things. Then he has that one great night, and he was fantastic in that game. Offensively, he carried them for a while. And it's like, you should apologize to Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
That crowd comes out. Apologize to Smart because of the one shooting night that he has.
Yeah.
In
See,
like
I told
best
you.
Best night all year long, and it turns into apologize for Marcus Smart.
Yeah, I don't. There was a little clip, I think, from the Lakers game where they showed him. He like dove on the ball. He like snatched it out of somebody's hand, then he threw it to somebody, then he threw it. Then I think it was a Tatum. And Tatum threw it to Horford, and Horford scored. And that was making the rounds over Twitter over the weekend. And I'm just laughing. I'm like, yeah, like nobody's ever debated or ever. I've never gotten an argument. Like with somebody about his ability to do that. He's the king of the loose ball. That's what he does.
Yeah.
He's scrappy. He gets in your face. Nobody complains about that. Everybody loves that. What we don't like is the untimely let it rain shooting that occurs like in close games. Nobody wants you to shoot.
How about this when it comes to Marcus Smart? Do you think it's a coincidence that like the best scoring night he had all year, he only took 2 threes? He was 9-for-13 from the floor, 1-for-2 from 3-point land. Like, fine, take it to the hoop. The little fadeaway he has underneath, taking it to the basket, got to the line 5 times. That was a season high as well. But 9-for-13 and only 2 3-pointers. Those are the nights. That's what you're kind of looking for Mark. He takes it to the basket, gets inside the paint, a little fadeaway. That was perfect. But he didn't go 9-for-13 and put up 25 because you went, like, you know, 4-for-12 or 5-for-12 from 3-point land. He, you know, 2-point shot, take it to the basket. Those are the things that you want to see from Marcus Smart. Enough with the 3-point line. I loved it because he only took 2 threes. I thought that was beautiful.
No, I can live with that. I can live with those opportunities. Fine. But that so everything's fixed now. Everybody's happy. You know, by the way, they are 7-3 since that little team meeting, not a team meeting.
Yeah, so and hopefully that game, I don't know, Jason Tatum looked good over the weekend, too. Maybe just playing LeBron in that kind of atmosphere picked him up.
I do feel like, don't you feel like,
a good couple games.
Don't you feel like he, yeah, well, one, yes, he kind of lives, I think he plays up when a big star or a big name, big team from a big city comes into town. I feel like he tries to shine more than normal. Like his focus is a little bit better. So they go ahead and they beat the Lakers, and they avoid like what is traditionally like a loss for them against OKC. Like, so they don't lose to a crappy team. They beat a good team, and they don't, you know, kind of, you know, just run out there like they've achieved something and then lose to a bad team. No, they won. They beat the Thunder. So I feel like, okay, there's 3 wins in a row. Congratulations. Everybody's happy. What do you think it's going to look like when Jaylen Brown comes back? Jaylen Brown comes back. Now, what is the relationship going to be?
Disconnected again?
Like, what is it? I just feel like it's eventually, like, they need to learn to play with all their stars at the same time. Like, if one of them is out, somebody else ends up picking up and the slack, and then the dynamics change.
He's back again tonight against a 1-15 Houston team. So you hope that that's, you know.
So, like, if they go out there and, like just lay an egg against Houston, I mean, come on.
So what did you think about the Enes Kanter LeBron James game? I love that Kanter actually wore his shoes.
Yeah.
Of the king bowing down to the Chinese president. Like, he's been calling him out the whole time.
Yeah, he's been trolling him for a while now.
Yeah.
So he's been trolling him for a while. So he wears the shoes, and sure enough, somebody actually asked LeBron James about the whole Enes Kanter situation.
Yeah, so this is LeBron James after the game. He was asked it with the media.
LeBron, do you have any reaction to
Enes Kanter using your likeness on his shoes in his advocacy for human rights?
No, I think if you know me, I don't really give too many people my energy. You know, and he's definitely not someone I will give my energy to, you know, trying to use my name to create, you know, an opportunity for himself. Definitely won't comment too much on that, if any. And that would be where I lay that at. You know, he's always, you know, kind of had, a word or two to say, you know, in my direction. You know, and as a man, you know, if you got an issue with somebody, you really come up to him. He had his opportunity tonight. I seen him in the hallway. He walked right by me. So, you know.
Thank you.
Mm. So that's that. So, I'm not a big fan of LeBron James, and it hurts me to say this, but I think he's right. Like, if you troll LeBron James, if you call him out on social media, Twitter, tag him to all of your tweets and videos, make shoes with him on your shoe, and you have an opportunity to play him or talk to him before a game about, and you don't. I mean,
I know. See, I agree with you. And then isn't the ultimate goal, don't you want him to help you?
But don't you want to talk to him? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, do you understand?
No, I 100%.
But I'm saying, if you're Kanter, like, yeah, you're, you know, this goes back to, you know, talking about Maury, like, he's not educated on the thing, you know, ripping Free Hong Kong, like, tweeting that out, and everybody, you know, everybody in uproar because, oh my God, we're going to lose money from China. They support us. Oh my God, Daryl Morey, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. LeBron saying, you're not educated on it. You should educate yourself on what's going on in China. LeBron. Maybe you should educate yourself. But if you're Kanter and you're kind of calling him out and you got an opportunity to talk to him and say something to him, shouldn't you?
Yeah, to me it's a cowardly move by him. So he's getting all this credit for being brave by coming out and saying all this stuff. But then when he has and at the same time he's trolling and openly shaming LeBron James for not doing anything about it. So good, agreed. So here you go. He's coming to town. He's actually going to play. You see him in the tunnel. You don't say anything to him? Are you afraid of LeBron James? Do you only feel comfortable saying it
from afar,
from a distance where there's no retribution? Like, he's not going
to
call you out.
Oh my God,
I
got to play LeBron tonight. I have to address it.
He's going to ask me about those tweets. Right? Oh my God, I just really, you just, in the end, you just want his help. Or does he already know that LeBron James is going to say, you know, go pound sand?
So they talked about it a little bit on the telecast, and Mike Breen brought it up, and he was just like, you know, they were kind of critical of Enes Kanter, not like saying something, like just contacting LeBron James directly. Like, he should have, did he try to contact him at first? And this is Doris Burke followed up on Mike Breen's comment.
It is consistent with his past, and he has endured the consequences of his criticism of the leadership of his country, both from fellow countrymen who play in the NBA, who Enes would tell you don't acknowledge him. But that was my first thought. Did you reach out to LeBron James first? And oh, by the way, I don't know how much business the United States does in terms of billions of dollars and multiple corporations, not to mention the other NBA players who have relationships with Nike, AD, KD, Kyrie, you name it. You single out one guy.
Well, this was kind of a stump comment from Doris, if you ask me. Why do you think he singled out one guy? One guy said Daryl Morey's not educated on the situation in Hong Kong.
He's the face of the league still.
It's LeBron James. It was like the New York Post or Times that called out Kanter and saying, well, Dennis Schroeder's on your team. Why aren't you calling him out? Because Dennis Schroeder's not telling Kyle Morey to shut up and dribble,
and what type
basically,
of, what
because type I'm about to lose money. He didn't publicly come out and shame a guy for sticking up for Hong Kong and told him that he needs to be more educated on the matter. Like, that's no, why he just called this guy out.
No, you don't pick on the guy who has the most swag and the most pull, who can actually do something about it. People will follow LeBron James. Someone's following Schroeder if he decides not to wear Nikes. Nobody cares. But if LeBron James, the face of the NBA, and where everything, you know, follows, where everything leads to, if he does something about it, then they'll make a difference, right? If he's got his own wing over there in Beaverton, Oregon, right, with Michael Jordan, right, with Tiger Woods, he's got his own also. So, but at the same time, so Cantor, listen, man, if you're going to do something and you got the opportunity, you got to at least say something to him.
Yeah.
It sounds like you guys are buying LeBron's word. You're taking his word for it. Why?
Why should I not?
He's been proven a liar.
Let me ask you,
times.
Do you think if he said that I met him in the hallway and he said nothing, do you think Cantor would have put a tweet video out and said that's absolutely not true? You don't think Cantor would have addressed it by now, 3 days later?
I would be inclined to believe that Enes Kanter was told to be a good employee and not bring this up in the workplace, because I'm not sure what a hallway conversation would accomplish here when he's publicly tweeted at him, called him out on national TV multiple times. If LeBron James wanted to respond and actually have a conversation about this, he knows exactly where to find Enes Kanter, and he's chosen not to do so.
Listen, the fact is that I don't think Enes Kanter is going to let like anyone tell him what to do at this point in time. The dude's like in Washington holding rallies over this. I mean, he's obviously not ashamed to get in front of it. So the Celtics say, hey, listen, we got a big name coming into town. Here comes LeBron James. Listen, we want you to avoid him. Don't make any noise. Don't disrupt his day.
And think about how that video looks, Christian, because it's the biggest rivalry in the NBA, the Celtics versus Lakers. You have ESPN in town with Mike Breen and Doris Burke and Cassidy Hubbard. And the biggest story would be LeBron James confronted by Enes Kanter about human rights issues in China. It would be the number one story.
And that's what Kanter wants. That's what he wants. So he should do it.
To bring awareness to the issue. But I'm telling you, it's probably more likely that the NBA told him, don't bring this up in the workplace. Your Twitter account.
So the NBA told him to shut up and dribble.
Yeah, exactly.
They've done it before.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, it's...
And LeBron James has been proven a liar multiple times,
Doris
guys.
Coming out and saying, you know, I don't want to get into the billions of multi-billions of dollars the U.S. does with China. And it's just like, okay,
so what you're saying is
that because we do so much business that we shouldn't care what goes on in China. We shouldn't care what's going on with the tennis player, who apparently is still missing, even though they try to portray it as she's not missing. After she claims that, you know, somebody in the Communist Party, like, sexually assaulted her. She just disappeared in the face of the earth. She's still missing. They're trying to put pictures up of her like at some youth thing. By the way, it's no big deal that we're going to have the Olympics there in the Summer Olympics in China this summer. Meanwhile, they took the All-Star game away from Atlanta. But we have no problem going over there. And, you know, so it's just
that's
like
crazy.
It's like, but hey, we do a bunch of business with China. So it is what it is. But LeBron, that wasn't the only business he got into as well. I want to get into that a little bit more. Maybe we should bring that up a little bit next, I think. We bring up the LeBron.
Isaiah Stewart
situation and what he got into, as well as Bill Belichick answering a question on the Greg Hill Show. One that he answered with us before. You'll hear what it is next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Uh-oh. Stewart and LeBron. Stewart is hot. And everybody's coming out now.
Now, this is ridiculous. Yeah, he must have caught an elbow or something, but...
Oh, yeah, he's got a lot of blood streaming from the side of the eye. Look, here goes Stewart.
Yeah, I think he's a little upset.
You've got coaches. You got security guys. Look at Dwayne Casey's like, just calm down.
Oh, that was the scene last night. Lakers, Pistons. If you missed it, it was an elbow. LeBron and Isaiah Stewart at the free throw line. And they got kind of tangled up a little bit. And LeBron threw an elbow that cut Isaiah Stewart open right above the eye. And blood was coming out. After, not for a while. And I think that's kind of, he confronted LeBron. Things got a little crazy. But it almost seemed like once this dude, Isaiah Stewart, saw the blood, his own blood, he freaking lost it.
He is my example of the ultimate hold me back guy. He's a whole, hold me back.
So when he went back strong and ran through like 4 or 5 trainers and assistant coaches.
He knows he's not getting through.
The minute he saw some of the Laker players, he's like, yeah, okay.
Then this is what he does at the end of this. So at the end, they finally grab him and they finally get him to the tunnel. He went into the tunnel. You know, like in the players' tunnel area where the players go. You can go around it. Yeah. You can find there. So he goes in, and they're like, oh, no, he's in the tunnel. He's going to find his way back.
He took off and started sprinting.
So he started sprinting. So he was trying to go through the other end, the exit. So
I think
so
he went the wrong way, though.
Yeah, he went left.
He went left. And they're like, oh, they're waiting for him to come. Yeah. I'm like, no, he went the other way.
It was so funny.
I don't know where he's going to come out.
It was so funny because he was like, he was trying so hard. He's got a gripe, too. I heard a lot of people defending, not defending, but excusing LeBron James. Like his actions, but that was 100% intentional.
Oh, there's no question about it. As you mentioned, they both got thrown out of the game. I think it's the second time LeBron's ever got tossed out of the game. But Anthony Davis, after the game, he sat at the podium. This is what he had to say.
I've never, 10 years, seen a player try to do that since I've been playing. I mean, obviously, we've seen it before, but back in the day. But in recent basketball, it was uncalled for. You got cut above your eye, accidental, like, you know, it wasn't on purpose. And, you know, we wasn't going to allow him to keep charging our brother like that. Like, I don't know what he was trying to do, but we wasn't going to allow that. And we just wanted to get the win for him, you know, get the win for our team, get back in the win column.
Mm. I tell you what, it was a little much for me. That's what I'm saying. He's the ultimate hold me back guy. I had a friend
who would do
that. I had a friend like that who we all have got friends that the hold me back guy.
Yeah,
like you know, and I know that he can't fight, but he's got to show everybody that he's going to fight. So you hold him back, and he knows you're going to hold him back, so he goes crazy. So what happens when you actually let the guy go? You let him go, and then see what happens. We actually did that one time to a friend of mine. He got his ass kicked. They said, "There you go. Don't be the hold me back guy."
I think he might have gone after him. I think this guy might have gone after him. Again, I think when he saw his own blood, he freaking lost it a little bit. But when Anthony Davis sit there and says, come on, it wasn't dirty. You know, he's not a dirty player. It wasn't intentional. No, that was intentional. When you throw your elbow like that, there's always a chance you could hit a guy in the face. Like, that was a dirty play by LeBron James. It was intentional. He was tangled up and he threw his elbow. Like, what? You're throwing your elbow to get your arm free? Well, his face is right there. So the whole, like, you know, I don't believe I've got to protect my brother, all these other things. Dude, your brother, dirty elbow to the guy's face.
I know, and because he has such a long history.
And he's going to be suspended for that, too, I bet, LeBron.
No, well, he should be, but that was bogus. Yeah, everybody knows LeBron. He's the cleanest, most respectful player in the league. He would never do anything.
Like, in my 10 years, I've never seen that.
No, well, he is right, though.
You believe that?
We've seen it. But we have this carried on for a long time.
You tell me you don't fight for a basketball and some guy throws an elbow and
he's never seen a guy
throw an elbow at another guy's face?
That. He's not talking about that.
Oh, he's talking about the guy just charging.
He was talking about Isaiah Stewart carrying on for
I like the
on
PA.
And on and on.
Stay in your seats. We do not want to have... I'm surprised he's not like, we do not want to have another incident like we did many years ago.
Yeah, this is that was way too
much.
Do
not get involved.
We are all safe.
We are all safe.
Oh, man, that was too much.
Do you guys think they're going to suspend LeBron?
Suspend him?
Yes.
What, do you already have the answer? Is that why you're asking?
No, I can tell you they're not going to, at least today, because the Lakers are in New York City. They're playing at MSG tonight, 7:30 tip-off on TNT. He's not being suspended for tonight's game. I can tell you that. There's
What is the history? Is there a comp for this, for another player doing something similar to this? Because you have to judge intent.
How about Nikola Jokic, one game suspension?
I think that one could be, that's obvious. I think LeBron could sit there and say, listen, I didn't do this on purpose. I was trying to get loose. It was an accident. He has an easier case than Jokic does.
You can't judge the intent. You have to judge the
action.
You can
judge Jokic's intent. You can judge his intent.
You can judge Marcus Morris's intent, too.
Yeah, you can judge both their intent.
You can judge Morris's intent, too, because Morris both of them. Shoved him
No, both
first.
Of them. But with LeBron, he's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, but not with LeBron.
He could just sit there. I was trying to get my arm free, and I accidentally hit him in the face by accident.
Okay.
Yeah, that's so my point.
Jokic can't say that, and neither can Morris.
Well, yeah. You suspend one guy, and you fine the other guy for causing the incident. But no, I mean.
Yeah, I actually think LeBron will get away with this.
Of course he will.
Yeah.
Well, he's LeBron James.
Yeah,
he probably will. All right, you know what?
Imagine when those guys play again.
I wanted to play this Bill sound from this morning, but I want to wait. Let's take a break right now. And then when we come back, Bill Belichick answered a question this morning. They asked him a question that we asked him years ago. He answered it differently. You'll hear both of them next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Things in these, huh? Ryan, did you just do these all weekend long? Are you just having fun with them now?
I enjoy making these very much.
Oh, I mean, it's crazy. By the way, we got an apology today coming up in this segment.
Yeah, it's a good one, too.
It is. It is a very good one.
Yeah, I guess it could be labeled an apology.
So, Thursday night, I don't know if you heard this one or not, but Troy Aikman was on the call. And they were talking about Mac Jones and Bill Belichick as a coach. And this is what Troy Aikman had to say.
The crown jewel of that 2021 draft is Mac Jones, but they, by all accounts, have a pretty good class. It's going to be around for a long time. Why would Bill Belichick at this point step away?
Yeah, especially now that he's got his signal caller for the next 15, 18 years, right?
Wow.
So first off, I think it's interesting that they say, why would he step away? I mean, I don't know. Does anybody think he's going to step away, like, next year? The year after?
Well, I haven't heard anything.
No. So, I mean, I don't expect it to happen. I think he's going to break Shula's record. So, I think he's got another 3-4 years, maybe 5. I don't know. But just the fact, why would he step away? And no one's saying he's going to.
Do you think they're being told that in the production meeting?
Well, that's what got my kind of ears perked up a little bit. You know, like, why would he step away? I don't know. You tell me. Who said the hell he's going
to
step away?
Yeah, but also, just Troy Aikman just casually throwing out there 15 to 18 years. Like, that's the norm for quarterbacks these days.
You didn't know that?
15 like everybody to 18 just plays years? 15.
Like you got a good quarterback, we just pencil it in for 18-year career.
Sure.
No big deal.
Let's go back. What do you think? So the Carolina Panthers probably, okay, now they're going back to get those extra years since Cam Newton.
Yeah, exactly.
What about the Chicago Bears? Oh, Mitchell Trubisky, when are you coming back? What are we talking about? Years. Hey, Ryan Tannehill, come back to Miami.
I just think it's interesting. So why would he walk away now? It's like, I don't know. Who's even, who bring, did someone bring that up to you before? Like maybe he's walking away. Anyways. Bill Belichick was on this morning, Greg Hill, like he is every single Monday morning, the Greg Hill Show. And Wiggy slash Coco, I'm not so sure who asked the question. I think Wiggy actually stole the question from Coco. But anyways, this is how it went.
You know, you're having a lot of success. It looks like you're really happy with the way things are going. How long are you going to coach for? I know this was Courtney's question, and I'm kind of stealing.
Oh, classic.
Oh, you stole
it. It's all right. It's all right.
Beautiful setup.
Well, you got to preface it. Teddy Bruschi said that you always told him that you wouldn't coach as long as Marv Levy, but with your success this season and now having Mac Jones, are you changing your tune at all?
Better setup.
Yeah, again, right now, really just focused on getting ready for Tennessee, and I'll deal with all that later. I appreciate you asking. Thank you.
Oh, no.
She got the I appreciate what? You asking.
See, I don't think Courtney knows what that really means.
It means he doesn't appreciate
it. No, it means he hates it. He basically, it's like.
Bless your heart.
Yes. Yes. That's a polite way of saying it. We heard that a lot last year.
How many times? We heard it in press conferences. Mike Reese, listen, I really appreciate you asking. No, but really, I really do. I appreciate you asking.
Such a condescending
question. I know there's a lot of interest for obvious reasons. And
Yeah, I appreciate
thank you. Thank you for bringing that up.
Thanks
it's
for
really
asking
important.
That
thank you. So, really so Courtney, who's actually already a little uptight when it comes to, you know, how she's received from Bill, like how what Bill thinks about her.
Yeah.
I think she probably felt pretty good about that, but I don't think she knows that Bill basically told
she
her
felt
to go,
like,
go pound sand.
I think
sand.
She felt like he really appreciated her asking that question.
Yeah.
But I think
like
we've
she felt
heard
good about it
in the last year or two
he
when
doesn't
he
like it,
doesn't
Courtney.
Like the question.
No, hates it.
He says, I really appreciate you asking.
I appreciate you asking. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Thank you for bringing that up to me. But the funny thing is that if they would have been, you know, paying attention to our show
just
for
a couple
all these
years,
you know, the great Glenn Ordway.
So this was back in end of October.
Take you back.
Yeah. October 28th, 2019. Our guy, Glenn Ordway, asked a very similar question.
Everybody's talking about everybody's future this past week. Were you kidding that time you made the comment, I don't want to be Marv Levy coaching in my 70s? Is that a joke?
You little kid.
Yeah.
They're buddies.
Yeah, you know, remember, what, you remember what, you said it?
Yeah. It no, just, I did. Yeah. And you know, when I said it, I didn't know what 70 felt like, so not really sure if that's an accurate statement today or not. I don't really know. At the time, I didn't feel that way. Now that I'm closer to that age, I don't know.
Trust me, that's what happens in life. I'm finding out.
Yeah.
Exactly it. Be a young 80.
Yeah, that sounds good. Be a young anything.
You can still hear me in the background coughing, can't you?
You're throwing.
Oh, my God.
You're still hearing me.
That was 2 years ago. That wasn't yesterday.
You're still, sick 2 years ago?
Yeah, that sounds good.
I have to get that thing fixed.
Yeah, young anything.
We have to get that thing fixed.
Wait, it just happened. It just started.
So, I mean, a couple years ago, it was sort of like, you know, I realized how young 70 is. And now it's just sort of like, listen, I really appreciate you asking the question.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, great job, Courtney. Excellent job. Nobody tell Courtney that he's really upset about the question. I don't want her weekend to be ruined.
No. But it was. I thought it was just interesting the way that they brought it up. Why would he be thinking of walking away? I'm like, I don't know.
I appreciate you asking.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, thanks for that. Great question, by the way.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that Mac Jones being here extends the timeline for Bill to retire? Because I think we're thinking, 73, 75? He's 69 now. That'd be 4-6 more years. Does Mac extend how long he's actually coaching here?
Yeah. I would think so. Because you know what I think it would come down to is, one, are you healthy enough, right? Do you have enough support? Like, do you have other coaches that can, you know, that are veteran coaches that can pick up the slack that really you're just kind of making sure nobody screws it up and you're game managing? That, to me, is going to be huge. Like, if he's sick and he's just worn out, I don't think a guy like him knows anything other than this. This is why coaches coach until their 80s if they can. All these coaches would still be coaching if they didn't get pushed out. They would still look at Don Shula. They finally pushed him out. He didn't want to quit. He didn't want to retire. They said, listen, it's time to go. We need to go in a different direction.
I just think he's waiting. He's going to break Shula's record. And then after that, then we're starting to think year to year. if you ask me. Like, I don't know if it's like, hey, once he breaks the record, I'm gone. Thanks for coming. That might be the case. You think he's going to really finish like a year to go with like 8 wins to beat Don Shula?
No, I don't. And we all know that these records, these milestones are, I think, are important to him.
See, one thing, Glenn, and I do think that, you know, the kids being there, because Glenn has always felt that way. So I do agree with that.
His sons.
That, yeah, the sons kind of being on the staff have helped him sort of be like, I'm with my kids now.
Grandkids, you know,
are
coming.
Yeah, I get to hang out. The kids and her family, everyone's coming and hanging out with us now. And I do have a good young quarterback. So now I feel good about the next 3 or 4 years of sticking around more to get that record. But I don't think he's going anywhere until he gets that thing. At all. And I think if anything, Mac Jones kind of helps him get there quicker.
Isn't coaching longer more about outlasting Tom Brady than it is about the Don Shula record?
Isn't it crazy that we're not sure if he's going to?
I'll ask Brady. Yeah, it's wild.
No, seriously. Like 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you know, it's like, could Brady outlast Bill?
No.
I think
Brady's done this year.
You always said that. But I mean, he's already come out and said, I got a couple more years.
And even if he does, so, I mean, I don't know where is he at as far as wins go, but I always felt like the last time I looked, I felt like it was at least 2 more years before he had a chance at breaking it. And that was based on, are we playing? I mean, plus, and then they added an extra game. So he has more opportunities in a year to actually break that record based on the fact that they added an extra game.
Yeah. So Josh McDaniels held his press conferences today as well and said some interesting things. I want to play sound really quick on what he said about Mac Jones and sort of processing everything that's getting thrown at him.
You know, Mac's done a really nice job throughout the course of the season of trying to handle almost anything someone's thrown at him. It's not been perfect by any stretch. We all know that. But again, for his first time seeing some of this stuff, being able to react to it, being able to handle his responsibility, being able to get the ball out of his hand most of the time and to the right place, I think he's been fairly effective doing that. There's definitely been stretches where that's challenged us, and we need to be ready for that coming down the stretch here.
Well, listen, I don't think anybody would disagree with all that as far as like Mac Jones has done a really nice job of handling pretty much everything. I mean, the kid's a rookie, you know, and people can poo-poo a 22 for 26 performance with a pick Thursday night, but his first Thursday night football game, and to just have like 4 balls hit the turf, or actually 3 because one was intercepted. Like, I think he's handled everything thrown at him at an exceptional level, especially for a rookie. Now, he went on to say the Titans are the best team the Patriots have played this year.
Hmm.
Any surprise? Like,
Am I surprised that he said that?
Playing, I don't know, like, pick a team.
Jacksonville.
Best team they've played so far this year.
Definitely,
I mean, it would have
definitely
right?
need to be nervous about them.
Here's an interesting one. Josh McDaniels called it, quote, a foundational year for Jonnu Smith and other offensive newcomers. Said it takes time to get acclimated to this offense, but no question he has an element of unique ability to the position. A foundational year for Jonnu Smith. Has it been a foundational year for Kendrick Bourne or Hunter Henry?
No, they fit in, and they're contributing right away.
So I guess you could say the same thing about the defense. So Jonnu Smith one is interesting because I feel like the most of the stuff that they ask him to do is...
Should we give him $12.5 million to learn the first year?
I mean, really, you're a veteran. Shouldn't you just open and press play?
But
there isn't really a get acquainted, get adjusted time frame for a rookie, of course. A first year, a guy that's bounced around for 3 years that really, maybe. This guy's a vet. You're paying him to produce day one, so you're telling me it's a foundation year for him on a wide receiver screen when he bobbles the ball 5 times.
So when you sign a guy to 3 years, you figure the first year is a redshirt.
So, because he's a vet, right?
And that luckily somebody else picked it up quicker in Hunter Henry. So at least we got one of them.
Like,
I don't.
That doesn't make any sense to me. That's him like almost like making excuses.
Is that
for
just like John Smith
so
can't figure it out?
So what's wrong with Hunter Henry? Is it a foundation year for Hunter Henry?
So Smith can figure it out. Hunter Henry can figure it out, but John Smith can't.
So yeah, and John Smith was really raw at his time in Tennessee. They really didn't use. He didn't learn much at Tennessee. You know, they played him out of position. Yeah. He was playing tailback. They didn't know he was a tight end.
Is it true that he actually said that N'Keal Harry's on his third foundational year? Or no?
What does that happen with N'Keal Harry?
It's his foundation year.
It's a lot of foundation.
You want to build something special? You need a good, solid foundation. And that's where just taking it slow with N'Keal.
So all
that's
the offensive newcomers.
Taking it slow. He's building something.
They're all getting a mulligan.
Well, I mean, is Hunter Henry getting a mulligan right now?
At this point in
time. Kendrick Bourne's giving you kind of, you're very happy with what you got from Bourne. Aguilar, you want a little bit more. Although it was
I think that you didn't go out and draft
last Thursday
six guys to you know, fill a bunch of roles. They're all vets. All of them are vets. And I would say, okay, first 4 weeks, we're speaking the wrong language. By week 11, week 12, I'm sorry, I cannot allow you to use that excuse anymore. That is a full season in some countries. Let's not act like it's like you're still figuring it out. Mac Jones has an excuse.
See, I would say
not the older guys,
but don't you think the winning allows you to be more patient with the guy? Like now that they're 7-4, like you were 2-4, and it was, if you remember right, the first 2 weeks, Jonnu Smith showed up. Hunter Henry did not.
Yep.
The first 2 weeks of the season, and it was like you got to get something out of Henry. I mean, you got to turn this year around. And then Jonnu Smith had his Saints game where he just basically was awful, looked like he never caught a football or played football ever again. And then Hunter Henry sort of stepped into a role. And when you're 2-4, you're like, okay, we've said this. At 2-4, we're like, dude, you spent $250 million on what? You know, and we weren't patient enough. I don't know, it was 6 games into it. I mean, you know, and now all of a sudden you're 7-4. So it's a lot easier to sit back and say 7-4. Okay, you know what? If Jonnu, whatever, it's going to take him a few more weeks. If he shows up week 13, 14 and finishes strong, we're good. You know, or N'Keal Harry. Started to get excited about N'Keal Harry, 2-catch effort. Because you're 7-4. And saying, ooh, he could help you out. Aguilar, you know, get a touchdown last week. Although I think he was more open than any wide receiver in the middle of the field has ever been in the league. But because you're winning, you're allowed to buy some time with some of these guys. And luckily for them, you are winning. Because if you were 4-7, you'd say, this is a complete mess. Jonnu Smith and Aguilar needed more out of him. They're giving you absolutely nothing. So winning helps.
No, winning.
Unless you're a tight end, a former tight end, you're impatient. You just need the guy to perform.
It is.
Right
it
now,
is interesting though. The phrases that they're allowing themselves to use, like calling it a foundational year. So you're going to be here. You signed a 3-year deal. So the first year we're just laying the foundation, right? Then we're going to build the home. So we really only get 2 years of use to live in this home, to use this home. It doesn't make any sense for them. They do this. I feel like they do this a lot lately. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on this. Like built-in excuses. The other guys are figuring it out.
But you see it. I see it in baseball a lot. You know, like a team gets off to a great first month and there's a good player hitting like 200, and you're like, you know what? Whatever. Like he's going to come around. You know, he's got track record. He's going to come around. They're winning without him. You know, whatever. And luckily, you're winning. If you're losing, then you'd be ripping the great player because he's letting everybody down. But they're winning, and this is kind of where Jonnu is right now. They're winning without him. So, you know, if we can wake up in 2 or 3 weeks, if the foundation year could turn into a foundation 12 games, and you could maybe get him for the last 5 in the postseason, I think he'll take it.
And actually think about it. So you're really leaning heavy on your run game right now because it just, like, that's what's clicking. Your bread and butter right now. Hang your hat on that. You haven't even gotten anything remotely close to what Jonnu Smith can actually give you. Right. I don't think he's reached his full potential. It has nothing to do with them not trying. He's either had really bad games, he's been hurt way too much, in and out of the lineup, missing tons of practices, but now he's got 6 games left. N'Keal Harry, you haven't gotten anything out of him. You haven't even scratched the surface with him. And I feel like this is the year, because after that he's probably going to be gone in some shape or form, either through a trade or they'll just cut him. Because why pay his salary? Why bother?
Yeah.
He doesn't do anything for you. You'd rather have some free agent guy that come in and feel a role.
And I would say Aguilar's in that category, too. They haven't really gotten much from him. Like I said, touchdown last week. Have you ever seen a guy more open in the middle of the field ever in the NFL?
Which play are you talking about?
It was the touchdown that Mac Jones threw to him. In the middle of the field, there's miscommunication.
The crossing route. Yeah.
I think there was some stat. It was like 16 yards of separation.
There was no Falcon on the TV broadcast in the picture.
I think it was 16 yards. I think StatCast or whatever, one of these things had ESPN. 16 yards separation. Like, nobody was in the middle of the field. Not like a corner going down the sidelines and a guy running free in the sideline. You know what I mean? Middle of the field.
No, they completely blew
But he's
the
another
coverage.
One. You could sit there and say, okay, those 3 guys, can you get something the last 6
so,
games?
So, you know, when we start thinking about just the Patriots as far as, I feel like they have the least amount of issues of any team in the AFC. Like, they have the least amount of, okay, things that we need. So they've already went through their offensive line issue, right?
And now they've created depth.
They've already went through their tailback issues.
Yep.
With their young backs. That's already come and gone. Their wide receiver issues, I mean.
They're what they are.
I feel like, I feel like there's more there. I do. I feel like there's more there. And for the most part, I feel like they've kind of, you know, not turned the corner, but kind of avoided all the all the major issues rookie quarterbacks, you know, fall into this time of year. They've avoided that. He's overcome it. I mean, the dude was like, has been outstanding for the last two games. Well, you know, he's not good enough. The number, it's not enough yards. Just don't worry about it. It's not a problem. Defensively, I would say it's the same story. So your outside, your linebackers that we thought were slow are now fast. Your big fellows, your big boys in the middle, you have youth with veteran leadership, mm-hmm. and your safeties.
So do you think tight end coach Nick Caley, I'm not so sure he heard Josh McDaniels come out and say that this is basically a foundation year for Jonnu Smith, which he did. Because Nick Caley, when asked on Jonnu Smith, he said, quote, I've seen no issues from a learning standpoint and an adaptation from a role. He's learned everything well.
Yeah, that's a offensive coordinator kind of trying to deflect the criticism that is a
well, I'm just saying, the tight end coach is like, there's nothing wrong here as far as learning standpoint. He's adapted well. The offensive coordinator saying it's a foundation.
Yeah, you know, don't be so hard on him. He's still kind of figuring it out.
But, yeah, strange. I just think it's strange, but you're right. I think there's some upside there. Last thing I wanted to hit on from Josh McDaniels, he actually said that Coach Mick Lombardi, our guy, Mike Lombardi, his kid, wide receivers coach, handles red zone game planning for the offense. Is that strange?
So no, it isn't, because I will say this. Usually,
why wouldn't the offensive coordinator be in charge of the most important part of the field?
Okay, so usually the way it works is, so Ivan Fears was always in charge of like blitz pickups, blitz assignments, third down. Like he had his time, and he would say, all right, here's the blitz situation that we're going to have to worry about for the whole week. That
What's
was
up,
his
girlfriend?
Job. Hey, thank you, Ivan. Dante Scarnecchia, he was always in charge of installing and drawing up plays for goal line and short yardage. So he would come up and do it. Third down passing plays would be, I mean, it was Brian Daboll at one point in time. And then the offensive coordinator would basically put in your basic play. So, no, I'm not surprised at all. They each have, it's too much for one guy to do everything. So they all have responsibilities. Okay, it's like divide and conquer. You take red zone. You give me all the coverages that I do in red zone. Okay, you come up with a bunch of plays for the red zone. Okay, you're going to give me all the short yards and goal line runs. I'm not going to do that. You do it.
But it's overseen by Josh. Like Josh is going to just bust his ass to get to the 20 and then turn around and go, Mick, what the Christ are we doing?
That is not I'm not surprised by that at all. I mean, Josh comes up with his own plays, but ultimately, like all these guys, all these coaches have like unique responsibilities. They all have to take on a certain aspect of the game.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising to me at all. You know.
All right. Listen, we got an apology today, don't we?
Yeah. We interrupt Merloni and Fourier for this apology.
Why do we apologize to Boston sports fans or sports fans anyway? They should be apologizing to us.
Sorry to put you through it.
Sorry.
I have boobs. Sorry.
I know, Danielle. I'm sorry.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
Sorry, my microphone went out there, coach.
Jeez, I apologize.
We recorded an interview. I'm sorry, I'm going to do that again.
Sorry. Sorry. But that's...
All right, so our guy, Rex Ryan, remember last week?
Yeah.
When talking about Robert Saleh, the head coach of the New York Jets, he wasn't too happy that people compared him to him.
No.
Four out of 5 years, the 49ers were dead last in their division. So he's going to be dead last again. So he's used to that. So to me, I'm a little pissed off about it when I hear that this guy, you know, his background's a lot like yours. No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
Wow. So then Robert Saleh also responded to that.
Yeah, he said, you know, he's not surprised. He talks an awful lot, whatever. He knows where he can call me.
Yeah, you know where to find me.
Yes, he knows where to find me. So, Rex Ryan on ESPN Sunday's pregame, I don't know if he actually said the words, I apologize, but boy, what a 180 on Robert Saleh in the New York Jets.
Robert is right. I know where to find him.
You going to go find him?
I'm glad he doesn't know where to find me, because that dude is jacked up, Randy.
You better leave him alone.
You better leave that man alone, Rex. I know that. I got to say this in all seriousness, though. We ended up talking later in the week, and I got to tell you something. I was blown away by the guy. It reminded me. I had some differences with Tony Dungy. I reached out to him, talked to him, and I was blown away. I thought he was super smart and just, you know, he's got a direction for this football team. But I'm telling you, Jet fans, I mean, the more I talked to him, the more impressed I was with Robert Saleh. Like, I became a fan of his.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who got – so somebody grabbed him and said, listen, You should probably call Robert Saleh. He is really upset. That's come on. Rex Ryan, stick with it. Stick with your opinion.
Because you went on too. Because a couple more comments. Just about
Number one, you know, taking my call and all that speaks volumes about him. But it was way more about, we put that stuff behind us. But it's about the future of this team. And I'm just telling you something. This guy's got a great plan. And I think they got it right. I think they got the head coach right, that he's the right guy for the job. We just got to be patient. I believe the quarterback they got right. And that's what you got to have. You got to have a head coach. You got to have a quarterback.
That was an apology. That was his own version of apology.
So all of a sudden, did he pile on. He's ripping Robert Saleh. Worst 4 out of 5 years, he's in last place. He's going to be in last place again in New York. This guy's defense, don't ever compare him to me.
So he's going to be dead last again.
Yeah.
So he's used to that.
So that turned into, I'm telling you, you got the right guy. You got a plan. You got the right guy. And you got the right quarterback. There ain't a soul in the world that can say they got the right guy in the quarterback.
No.
And Zach Wilson, he knows they got the right guy at quarterback.
No.
He's full of crap. He's just backpedaling
now. No, that was his. He never did officially say he was sorry for his comments.
No,
basically, it's like, listen, I talked to him on the phone. This boy, I'll tell you what, Jet fans, you got to be excited.
So he's got a plan. Yeah. So when he says he's a smart guy, he's got a plan. Do you think Robert Saleh actually had a conversation with Rex Ryan and they talked about defensive schemes and what their plan of the
big
future
picture.
Is? You think Robert Saleh told Rex Ryan what the plan of the New York Jets is, the future of the Jets?
No, I do not. I do not at all.
So Zach Wilson last played a game on October 24th. On the 27th, Rex Ryan said that quarterback is 100% lost. He hasn't played a game since. And now he's saying they got the right quarterback?
They got the right guy. They got the right quarterback, too. Let me tell you, J-E-T-S. I mean, I'm surprised he didn't dive into it and be like, Jets, they're going to win the East next year.
I know.
Yeah, just keep going.
The full quote is, you've got a horrendous coaching staff with a quarterback that looks 100% lost. And now he's like, hey, this is the right plan.
I was with Robert Saleh. I became a fan of his.
He said you have a horrendous coaching staff.
Yes, October 27th.
And a quarterback that's lost.
Mac Jones looks like a seasoned pro. You look at the other side. This is after Jets Patriots. Yep. And he goes, you look at the other side. You've got a horrendous coaching staff with a quarterback, Zach Wilson, that looks 100% lost.
I believe the quarterback they got right.
Oh, my God. No, you don't.
No, you don't. I think it's great. I think it's great. And Jets fans know that Rex can kind of sling it with the best of them. He's full of crap. He's full of crap.
He's so full of it. He got called out.
His truest, and that's why, Rex, dude, you don't need to backpedal. What your first assessment, your first feeling was the true and correct one. He's getting credit for being a great defensive coordinator, but he can't hold a candle to your resume and to your defenses of the past. He can't. And that's why Rex was so pissed.
I was blown away by the guy.
Blown away by the guy.
It was like, oh, it was like back when I had issues with Tony Dungy.
He broke down. He told me, it was like an interview, as a matter of fact. I asked him questions, and he just passed. I asked him about his defensive mindset and what he's trying to do. I asked him about his quarterback, and then I asked him about the future plans of the New York Jets. He told me everything, Jets fans. You guys are all set.
I wonder if this
is genius.
I wonder if Saleh gave him, I don't know if you heard what my plan is, but it's all gas, no break.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's good.
Let's go get a damn snack.
Oh, my God.
Your slogan's way better than mine.
I wish I would have thought about that one.
Yeah, it's like, seriously, it's like Ricky Bobby. God, it's a good nickname.
Oh, that's good.
It reminded me, I had some differences with Tony Dungy.
Yep. I don't remember those differences. Yep.
One of the greatest defensive minds in the history of the NFL and Robert Saleh in the same
sentence. 4 out of 5 years, the 49ers were dead last in their division. So he's going to be dead last again. So he's used to that.
That's the best line ever.
The more impressed I was with Robert Saleh.
Oh my God.
I became a fan of his.
Oh, stop it. You got called out. Stop it.
That's too funny.
All right, this hour is sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, where they are offering sound wave therapy. Visit Northeast Men's Health. .com. All right, because the Patriots had that Thursday night victory, 25-0 over the Falcons. They're able to sit back. You as Patriot fans, able to sit back. And what a weekend it was for your New England Patriots. Are some of the teams in the AFC that you were concerned about, are you still concerned? And are there new beasts of the AFC just looming around the corner? We'll get into all of it next on Marloney and Fourier.
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.